The Imitation of Christ by Thomas A. Kempis. Part 35. Book 4, the 5th chapter. The Dignity of the Sacrament and of the Priesthood. The Voice of Christ. Had you the purity of an angel and the sanctity of St. John the Baptist, you would not be worthy to receive or administer this sacrament. It is not because of any human meriting that a man consecrates and administers the sacrament of Christ and receives the bread of angels for his food. Great is the mystery, and great the dignity of priests to whom is given that which has not been granted the angels. For priests alone, rightly ordained in the church, have power to celebrate Mass and consecrate the body of Christ. The priest, indeed, is the minister of God, using the word of God according to his command and appointment. God, moreover, is there, the chief author and invisible worker, to whom all is subject as he wills, to whom all are obedient as he commands. In this most excellent sacrament, therefore, you ought to believe in God, rather than in your own senses or in any visible sign, and thus, with fear and reverence, draw near to such a work as this. Look to yourself and see whose ministry has been given you through the imposition of the bishop's hands. Behold, you have been made a priest, consecrated to celebrate Mass. See to it now that you offer sacrifice to God faithfully and devoutly at proper times, and that you conduct yourself blamelessly. You have not made your burden lighter. Instead, you are now bound by stricter discipline and held to more perfect sanctity. The priest ought to be adorned with all virtues and show the example of a good life to others. His way lies not among the vulgar and common habits of men, but with the angels in heaven and the perfect men on earth. A priest clad in the sacred vestments acts in Christ's place, that he may pray to God both for himself and for all people in a suppliant and humble manner. He has before and behind him the sign of the Lord's cross, that he may always remember the Passion of Christ. It is before him on the chasuble, that he may look closely upon the footsteps of Christ and try to follow them fervently. It is behind him, he is signed with it, that he may gladly suffer for God any adversities inflicted by others. He wears the cross before him that he may mourn his own sins, behind him that in pity he may mourn the sins of others, and know that he is appointed to stand between God and the sinner, never to become weary of prayer and the holy offering until it is granted him to obtain grace and mercy. When the priest celebrates Mass, he honors God, gladdens the angels, strengthens the church, helps the living, brings rest to the departed, and wins for himself a share in all good things. The 6th chapter, An Inquiry on the Proper Thing to Do Before Communion. The Disciple. When I consider your dignity, O Lord, and my own meanness, I become very much frightened and confused. For if I do not receive, I fly from life, and if I intrude unworthily, I incur your displeasure. What then shall I do, my God, my helper and adviser in necessity? Teach me the right way. Place before me some short exercise suitable for Holy Communion, for it is good to know in what manner I ought to make my heart ready, devoutly and fervently, for you, to receive your sacrament for the good of my soul, or even to celebrate so great and divine a sacrifice. The 7th chapter, The Examination of Conscience and the Resolution to Amend. The Voice of Christ. Above all, God's priests should approach the celebration and reception of this sacrament with the deepest humility of heart and suppliant reverence, with complete faith and the pious intention of giving honor to God. Carefully examine your conscience, then. Cleanse and purify it to the best of your power by true contrition and humble confession, that you may have no burden, know of no remorse, and thus be free to come near. Let the memory of all your sins grieve you, and especially lament and bewail your daily transgressions. Then, if time permits, confess to God in the secret depths of your heart all the miseries your passions have caused. Lament and grieve because you are still so worldly, so carnal, so passionate and unmortified, so full of roving lust, so careless in guarding the external senses, so often occupied in many vain fancies, so inclined to exterior things, and so heedless of what lies within, so prone to laughter and dissipation, and so indisposed to sorrow and tears, so inclined to ease and the pleasures of the flesh, and so cool to austerity and zeal. So curious to hear what is new and see the beautiful, and so slow to embrace humiliation and dejection, so covetous of abundance, so miserly in giving and so tenacious in keeping, so inconsiderate in speech, so reluctant in silence, so undisciplined in character, so disordered in action, so greedy at meals, so deaf to the word of God, so prompt to rest and so slow to labor, so awake to empty conversation, so sleepy in keeping sacred vigils, and so eager to end them, so wandering in your attention, so careless in saying the office, so lukewarm in celebrating, so heartless in receiving, so quickly distracted, so seldom fully recollected, so quickly moved to anger, so apt to take offense at others, so prone to judge, so severe in condemning, so happy in prosperity and so weak in adversity, so often making good resolutions and carrying so few of them into action. When you have confessed and deplored these and other faults with sorrow and great displeasure because of your weakness, be firmly determined to amend your life day by day and to advance in goodness. Then, with complete resignation and with your entire will, offer yourself upon the altar of your heart as an everlasting sacrifice to the honor of my name, by entrusting with faith both body and soul to my care, that thus you may be considered worthy to draw near and offer sacrifice to God, and profitably receive the sacrament of my body. For there is no more worthy offering, no greater satisfaction for washing away sin, than to offer yourself purely and entirely to God, with the offering of the body of Christ in Mass and Communion. If a man does what he can, and is truly penitent, however often he comes to me for grace and pardon, as I live, saith the Lord God, I desire not the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. I will no longer remember his sins, but all will be forgiven him. End of part 35.